there's things that come up just from missionary needs, and we do a lot of things back in our deacon meetings and stuff when it's aware, but you know, missionaries have needs all the time, and we want to be a blessing. And I know that some of these medical things come up, and I don't always just say what we do, but there's a lot of times when we'll just send $300-$400 extra dollars when there's a need, and just try to meet it and be a part of meeting it as it comes. Amen. There's a need that just came up Friday night, and I just want to maybe bring it to our church attention, and then we can be a blessing through it. Joshua was trying to get some ice for the church. Somebody rear-ended him, messed up his car. He's going to be going to Illinois and to preach in just a few weeks, and waiting for insurance, all that stuff. And you know, Joshua was driving a Jaguar before he got wrecked. You know, he was. You know, you've seen that white limousine out there, right? But I think that if you want to mark something the next couple of weeks just for Joshua that you can use for his car, and you put in the offering, we'll gather it up, and then we'll make just extra towards whatever he gets settlement and all that stuff, and then you can buy a little better car than you could with just whatever they did. All God's people say. Amen. So you don't have to, but if you want to, then we're going to do something too. But I just thought, you know, hey, what are you going to do? Let him walk to Illinois? I don't think we want to do that. Sarah will ride somewhere, but we'll get you there, Joshua. But, you know, just be a blessing if we can, and that's a worthy cause to help out. Amen? Okay. If you have your Bible, Psalms chapter 19. And the reason we're pausing in Revelation is I think that I probably ought to preach and teach on this subject constantly, but especially this Saturday, if you are planning or would like to come and help us do this Gifts of the Gospel and be there to counsel and to help a family and just to be an ambassador for Christ. What our plan and goals usually are is we just have someone meet a family. I say, come in, I'll say, hey, you go this family, you go this family, and then go down and help them with getting things for their kids. Because sometimes people are like, oh, I don't want to get too much, or I don't know if I should. And you say, take it, get it. We want just to be that hostess or host with families. And then maybe they'll make a friend with somebody who's kind and considerate and helpful and say, hey, I'll be at church. We'd love for you to come, and I'll sit with you. That just that way to make some relationships and bridge the gaps. And when we do that, I find that most Christians are totally capable and competent to tell someone else how to get saved. But most Christians are totally nervous and scared out of their mind that they're going to say something wrong or not do it just right, and then they would rather not try than to try and, quote, mess something up. Well, me and Will are here, and Joshua too, so mess-ups are not going to be, you're not the only one, okay? We are human beings and just trying to do the best that we can for the Lord's sake, so don't worry about messing up for God, because God's got to be involved. And sometimes he takes a mess up and makes up for it and even does more with it than what you ever could. So in Psalms 19, let's look at these verses. And then I want to look at verse number 7 and remind us that whenever you try to witness, it is not you that is going to win someone to the Lord. Psalms 19 says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. It tells us that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord, God's word, God's laws, there's nothing better than you could ever do than trying to tell and share with someone about God's word converting their soul. The conversion of the soul takes place with the Holy Spirit. and from the Word of God. Both of those are mentioned as part of the salvation experience. We're born again by the incorruptible Word, the book of Peter says. We're born again by the Spirit of God. It says that of water and of the Spirit in John chapter 3. Spirit and Scripture are equally involved with someone being saved. So, how do you do it, and how are we going to make that happen? I like that second verse. It says, or the second part of verse 7 says, making wise the simple. You do not have to teach a Greek class or a college-level class to tell someone how to be saved. You just simply need to tell them, hey, God's Word says that we are sinners, that we have broken His law, we have sinned, and God's love provides the Savior, and this is how I got saved. That's all you got to do is just say, this is how I got saved. I didn't know everything, but a man showed me this verse. I'm going to give you some verses in a second. And then you can share it and show it through a track or through a little plan. I'll give you a couple this morning that you can write down and have at your fingertips. And don't make it complicated, because it's simple. One of my favorite stories of soul winning recently was a couple years back. I went to Brown County to help with the church booth at Mount Oreb, and they were passing out walking sticks. Preacher Smith came up and saw one of these farm shows, and he said, we're going to do it at the Brown County Fair, the little state fair, my stomping ground fair. I remember as a little kid having a cane and flicking lamb manure off of the road at people, and they were laughing at me because I was golfing with lamb manure. That's how little I was, and just having a good time out in the middle of the fair. I love Brown County Fair. So I was there, and I noticed one of the young guys. He was probably maybe 17, and he had a circle. And folks would come in to get a walking stick, and he would say, number one says, all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me tell you what number two says. Number two says, he read the tract verbatim in front of the circle of people, and when he got done, he said, would you like to pray with me and receive Christ as your Savior? Let's pray. And I watched group after group bow their heads and pray, and he was the robot just reading off the track. And I thought, why would we try to make it any more complicated than that? He didn't have any good jokes. He didn't have any John Deere cracks or any. I mean, he just, number one says, number two says, number three, and I'm like, that's awesome. That is awesome. You do not have to have some flair or flamboyance to lead someone to being saved. You have to have a burden. You have to have a burden. You need a plan so you know where to lead them to. And then you need a pure heart. Let me tell you this part. Because just giving you the plan, and I can't give you a burden, and maybe you have a burden, but you need a pure heart. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Psalm 51. Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51. Look at verse 11 and 12. This is David's repentance chapter. He has been confronted by Nathan, the prophet, that he has been found out his sin with Bathsheba. And all these things are going to happen. The child is not going to live. Nathan has given him the judgments of God. And David's repenting, and he says in verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Can I just tell you that in the New Testament, you don't ever have to worry about the Holy Spirit being taken from you? Somebody say amen to that. He's promised to stay with you. And you ought to have the joy of your salvation through anything, but sometimes Christians can be unjoyful through circumstance, through a trial or whatever is going on. Our joy can be stolen. Remember at Wilmington, Courtney I was involved with Junior Church for a while, and they had this lesson about the joy robber, and she was the joy robber. She came in the class and was robbing their joy, and all the kids after church, there's the joy robber, she robbed my joy, you know, and pointing the finger at. So some of the kids, they had the joke going on. But there are things that rob Christians' joy. You know what robbed David's joy? Sin. Simple sin. And he repented of it, and then look what he says. Restore the joy, and verse 13 says, then will I what? Teach transgressor thy ways, and sinners shall be what? Converted. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and the pure, the prerequisite for someone being a part of it is having a pure heart, being right with God. And so I'm going to urge you. I urge us as a church to get right before we take communion. And I'm going to urge you, confess, get right before you try to witness. It's God that does it, but if you're the plate that he's serving the gospel on, don't you want to be a clean plate? I mean, can you imagine God serving a big T-bone steak and you're the plate, and then you got a bunch of mud all over that plate that T-bone steak sits in? I'd still eat the T-bone steak, but some of you might not want it, okay? The plate needs to be clean. The tool needs to be clean that God is using to administer his perfect law. The law of the Lord is perfect, but you've heard some people give the word of God, and you're like, I don't want to hear it from them. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to hear anything they've got to say. Well, God, through David, teaches a great, great principle. The principle is the law of the Lord is perfect, and then the prerequisite for leading someone and witness and winning someone, it says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. When? That God's renewed a right spirit within me, verse 10. That he's restored the joy of my salvation, verse 12. That I've gotten right and confessed it from verse 1 all the way down to verse 10. So, listen, if you want your loved one to get saved, how many would love to see a loved one get saved? Would you raise your hand? You've got some, yes, you want them. Get pure. You're going to pray about them? Get a pure heart. Don't let sin reside. You're going to take part in watching filth and listen to filth and doing filth and pray that God would filter that and just answer all your requests? You get serious about sin in your life and somebody will get serious about the souls of people around you. I'm just giving you a little bit of preaching today, okay? You say, preacher, you're making me be the one. I'm just saying I don't want to be the one hindering somebody I want to see get saved. Amen. I do not want to be the one that hinders the Spirit from working. I'm not blaming it on us that other people don't get saved because, no, their name's not written in the book of life. They're the ones who's not going to make it to heaven. We all give an account for ourselves. But I would love to be a bridge, and I'd love to be a help, and I'd love to sharpen the pencil that the angel's going to write with in the book of life. Amen? I want to have it just everything is primed as can be so that someone can get saved. That's why we try to do events. That's why we try to do giveaways. That's why we try to do kind things, considerate things, and confrontational things. I talked with a fellow this week, and I know he didn't want to hear, but I said, hey, if I didn't tell you this, I would be miserable when I leave this place. I would be so miserable if I didn't try to tell you about Jesus. And he believed a different philosophy, and it was okay. And I said, hey, that might work for you down here, but the Bible says it won't work up there. And I was trying to be kind, but still, plant the seed, man. Jesus is the only way, the Bible says. So, converting the soul is the law. Living right. It says, restore this joy. Then will I teach transgressors, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, that broken heart is, I just got to do something about it. I don't know if I can fix it, but I'm going to do something about it. And that is a part of the best motivator in a soul winner or a person who's witnessing's life is I want to do something about it. So the principle, the prerequisite, The law of the Lord's perfect. Get a pure heart. Now let's look at some plans. Okay, what are you going to show? And I just brought out a gospel track, and that's the, like I told you the fella did. Our gospel track says four things you must know to be saved. Hey, do you know four things that the Bible wants you to know? You can ask a question to get it started, or just say, hey, can I just go through this with you? Now, the Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one. The penalty for sin is death and hell. Jesus died to pay for our sins. And Jesus invites you to be saved today. You can be saved today. This is basically the Romans Road with one extra verse about hell in it. That's basically what this track is. And so Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, there's gospel tracks right as you get ready to head out the door. You can grab more than you need and use them however you'd like. But this is a great way to just to use, and you can have it right at your fingertip, and you can walk right through it. You can use any method. If you've ever heard of Living Waters, Kirk Cameron and I can't think of the fellow's name. Somebody say it out there. Oh, I'm drawing a blank. But Ray Comfort, thank you, Will Doomy, or whoever said that. Ray Comfort. He has three questions to try to help them admit that they're sinners. And he says, have you ever stolen anything in your life? Can I just give you a quiz? And they say, well, yeah, I probably have. What do you call people who steal things? Thieves. Have you ever told a lie in your life? Ever? What do we call people who tell lies?
Liars.
Oh, my goodness. And then he just goes through a few of those and says, so if you stood in front of God and you're a thieving, lying, and if you ever looked on a person to lust after them, an adulterer at heart, could God let a lying, thieving adulterer into heaven? And you say, well, I didn't think I was that bad. Yeah, but we are that bad in God, in the standard of perfection. I don't think you have to beat someone up and make them feel horrible. I just think you have to let someone know that in God's eyes, we're all sinful. So if you can do it compassionately, that's great. I try to be caring. I'm the nice cop, okay? I try to be caring, compassionate, and yet just show what they need to be saved. There's others that have them dangling over the pits of hell and they're about to fall in and then reach and grab them. Whatever your personality is, God will use you. God will use you. If you've got a harsh personality, then maybe you be rigid and bold and they're used to that. If you're just a kind and considerate and you're just as gentle as Will Doomy, okay, whatever it is, you do it the way that you can share the truth of God. Whatever way you'd use, Romans is a great one, the Romans Road. You get down to Romans 10, and it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This transition from telling people what the Bible says and what they need to do to getting them to do it is always the most awkward moment for me. Okay, it's like, hey, I told you what all you need to hear. Now this says call on the Lord. Okay, how do we do it? How do we get to that? And so this is what helps me. And I read Romans 10:13 to them. I'll say, I remember when I got saved. Yeah. And this is what happened to me. A man showed me this verse and he prayed with me. And I prayed and asked the Lord to save me. And so I can't make you, but if I would lead you in prayer, would you pray with me? Sunday night after church, two people in the back corner, they were sitting where Rick and Carol was sitting in the evening service. And I saw one of them look up at me at the invitation. And so after church, there was a ton of people I wanted to meet. There was a ton of people I wanted to greet. Oh, there was new visitors. I wanted to shake hands and make them feel welcome. You know what I went after? Go back there and let's talk. And I got to that verse and I said, hey, could I pray with you? And they said, would you pray with me? And they said, yes. Let's do it. Okay? So that's how I get across that awkward last moment. And you say, well, what if they didn't mean it? What if, how are you going to fix that? You're just sharing and showing them. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Let God do that. You just share it. Well, I don't want to be too pushy. Well, then don't be pushy. But I don't want them not to get it. Well, then push. you have to, the Lord will help you with that method. I just feel like that I can't push too hard to get someone saved. If they'll let, they'll stay there when I push, then they're not getting out of the way. Yeah. Open your mouth. If you don't say anything, they're not going to get saved. Just open your mouth. It does. A gentleman just told me he led his first person to the Lord, and he said, it was like verses were coming out of nowhere. I had no idea where they were in there, and all of a sudden I was spewing them out, and he said, they asked me a question. I remembered you showed me this verse, and I'm like, well, in John chapter 14, he said, I can't believe I remembered it. God is involved with this way more than you ever could be. Okay? And so, on Saturday, get you a track. That's a great way. My favorite way is the white robe story. I love to tell the white robe story. And Isaiah 1:18, turn there. Let me show you this verse. If you've heard it 100 times, you're going to hear it 101, okay? If you haven't heard it, then this is my all-time favorite. This is the best recipe. If you're coming to my house, I'm fixing you dinner, I'm going to the white robe story spiritually, okay? Isaiah 1:18. I used this one Friday night when I was talking with somebody. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now yesterday, I just used the gospel stick and just used the gospel colors. And I told the story a bunch of times. But I like to use the white robe story. And so if I'm using the white robe story, then I'm going to, let me get me a white robe here. I'm going to say, hey, can I tell you this story? It'll let you see how God sees you. And imagine when you're born, you're given a pure white robe. So I'll go give it to Jenny here and say, here's this white robe. Did I tell you the white robe story when I first met you? Did I? I remember. Yeah. And so you got this white robe, and in the story, it's perfect. God sees you have it. That's all you have to get to heaven. But I want you to imagine that every time you commit a sin, an angel puts one red mark right on your white robe. What color would what color would our robes look like by now? And almost 100% of the time, they'll say, I would have red marks. So I grab something pink and I say, look, if you could look at mine, it would be red. We could wring out the ink. It'd be a bunch of it because I've sinned in my life. And so I trade them. Yours might not be this bad, Jenny, but just imagine, you've got red marks. Now God sees us with this sin. He loves us the same. But if he let me into heaven with my red marks, I would ruin heaven for everyone else. And so I go through the scenario that God loves you, but he can't let those red marks into heaven. So he has a plan of redemption. Jesus was born. He's given the same white robe, no marks on it. The Bible says that Jesus lived a perfect life. He goes to die on the cross to pay for sin. He has no sin to pay for. So he says, Jenny, you've got those red marks you can't pay for. And here's what God wants to do. Take your sin. If you'll believe in him, you'll confess him. Romans 10:13 would be a great verse to use. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from, I'll add, from sin. And God will give you Jesus' life. And then when God looks down at you, there's no sin. He can let you into heaven because your sin's been paid for. Hallelujah. And then he looks and sees Jesus covering you. The reason I like this story is because I can teach eternal security right away. Because it's my opinion that that's usually the biggest hurdle. If someone is honestly wanting to become a Christian, they're honestly thinking, I cannot be a Christian. Just think about it. If someone just introduced Christ to you, hey, you want to receive Christ? And you're like, yeah, but there's no way I'm going to be able to live this. Just think, if you're an adult and you are not saved, living however you want. Someone says, Jesus will forgive you, and you're like, okay, but what would I do the next thing? That's always the thought that I run across. So what happens in this illustration, Jenny, if you get Jesus, you're still human. You're still probably going to sin. Hopefully it's not rooting for Michigan, okay? But some people have those sin problems. If you sin again, the angel comes. He's going to put the mark on your robe, just like he did before. Watch this, church. Instead of marking on Jesus with the one you have, he marks on yours because this is your account. And your account is settled long ago. Amen. There's a verse that says, for he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And if you get saved, Jenny, your sin's paid for, and now that one stays white. The only way that one will get messed up is if Jesus sins, because that's the only way the angel can put a mark on that robe. And then after I explain that, I bring them right to the decision. Now, everyone has had a red robe at some time. We've all had sin. Which one do you have right now? Do you have the red one, or do you have his white one? Now, sometimes people can get confused because I'm not the best storyteller in the world, okay? And they can say, oh, I got the one in the middle. No, there is no one in the middle. It's either one or the other. And I'll try to make it light again, but I'll say, you've either got this one or you've got this one. If you've got this one, tell me when you got it. I want to know when, because there had to be a time when you got it. And if they say, I don't know, I'll say, well, why have any doubts? Why don't we make today the day, and you ask Jesus. He said if you call on him, he'll save you. Let's make today the day, and you can get saved and trade robes. And if they got saved for the 15th time, then 14 extra ones didn't hurt. Okay, you only get saved once, but if there's a doubt, I want to make sure I leave that person with as much reason not to doubt and as much reason to know as I possibly can. Amen? So I'll say, hey, Jenny, the Bible says, if you call on the Lord, pull out a track and go through that verse. Look, you shall be saved. That's how you trade robes. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah. You believe he rose from the dead? That's awesome. That's really the biggest part. Jenny, I haven't changed your belief. I just tried to help you with it. But you know what? If you would pray, he would trade your robes. If I prayed, would you pray with me? And I'll ask that right there, kind of put me in with, I'll do it with you. They say yes. Don't give them John, don't give them another verse. Don't quote the books of the Bible to them. Don't, well, no, it's going to be hard. The devil's going to attack. Don't die. Don't say anything else. Pray with them. You've got as much time and eternity to talk about it after someone gets saved. Don't say someone's going to mess things up now, because you will mess it up. You keep on talking. Just pray with them and let them call on the Lord. Then you can talk about everything else. And once they get the Spirit of God in them, everything else you say might even mean more anyway. Amen? Because we want to give them 15,000 things about the spirit of spiritual growth. They don't have the Spirit until they get saved. You can't grow it. It's like putting fertilizer and water in a pot without putting the seed in there. Hey, I'm going to grow me a plant. Here's the fertilizer, Miracle-Grow. Here's, I'm going to massage the soil, put some water. How about the seed, brother? Plant the seed before you do anything. Get someone saved and let them call on the Lord. Then all those other things have something to grow with. Okay? So Saturday, you can use the white robe story if you're planning to come. And guess what? You don't have to come Saturday. You can tell someone today. You're going to talk to someone tomorrow. Somebody's going to call you and try to sell you a long-term car warranty, and you can tell them, hey, do you know the white robe story? Let me tell you the white robe story, and then you can tell me about your warranty. Hey, try that next time they get a marketer caller. They'll call you. They'll put a note. Religious person, be careful. You'll be on the phone a long time before you get to give them their spiel. I used to do that. I'd say, well, if you let me talk to you about mine, I'll listen to yours. I got to witness to people in college that way a couple times. Anyway, share the gospel. Use the track, use a story, use something, and it will help. Carol?
They need to be prepared that not everybody is going to be saved. They might just be planting.
If someone says not yet, say, understand, now you know how. Don't feel like that if they don't get saved, it's not your fault. You are witnessing and sharing the gospel. I've been the beneficiary of a bunch of other people's work and just walk in and seal the deal. I've planted seeds so many, and then somebody else walks in and is a part of them getting saved. Whatever way, don't be offended. Amen. We're all watering, planting, and God gives the increase. And it amazes me that sometimes I will think, oh, that ain't going good. And then it'll go perfect because God uses the person at the right time to get saved. So anyway, I want to encourage you, and I want to just reiterate to you how important it is. Christmas time is a great time. I tried to talk to a waitress yesterday, and I said, hey, can we pray for anything? And we never got into a conversation about the gospel. I was just trying to get it close enough so I could. It doesn't happen every time, and so I didn't. It didn't happen there. But other people I got to go further and share the gospel with, and, you know, you can do it, though. Do not think that you are unqualified or unable. You are somebody's best chance to hear about Jesus and get saved. And so be ready and be willing. The greatest thing I've ever done in life, okay, I've done some amazing things. Courtney marrying me was pretty amazing. Amen. Children, wonderful blessings. But the greatest thing that I've ever done is tell someone else how to get saved. Right. Nothing compares to it. And even if they didn't get saved, it's still the greatest thing I've ever done. But when someone does get saved, it's a hallelujah. Frank?
When I got saved, it seemed like so many people rejoiced over it. And to me, it was like, not such a big deal. And now that I've been saved for a while, I rejoice when someone gets saved.
Because it's a big deal, ain't it?
It's a big deal.
Yep, it's a big deal. Heaven rejoices. They get excited and strike up the band. And so I pray that we will have that same enthusiasm and energy. We've got a couple minutes. Anybody got a question? Nancy? Well, if someone is refusing to admit they need to be saved, I would take them to James, where it says, if you know to do good and you don't do it, to them it's sin. And I would say it doesn't matter about your judgment of it. It's God's judgment of it. You may not think you've done something wrong, but God says you sinned if you knew to do right and didn't do it. So I would try to change their perspective. Look, you may not see it, but God sees you as guilty of sin. And so that's even worse if you don't realize you got it, right? If you didn't realize that you had that and was walking around, you're even in worse condition because you are. You're guilty of breaking God's laws at some point. That's the angle I would try to take. The one time that someone said, oh, I got a pure white robe, the person next to him said, whatever, you ain't got a pure white robe. You got a bunch of red marks. So I didn't have to say anything. Their friend turned them in, okay? But most of the time, just have you ever lied? Have you ever, this is God's law. He's the judge, not us. And some people say, well, I don't believe in God like you do. Well, that's okay. Let me tell you what the Bible says about God. And if you just tell them what you believe or what the Bible says, then you're not changing their mind. You're just informing them. And that's important. Keep praying too. But just telling them. Maybe they think they know and they just haven't heard it the way that it needs to be told. Somebody else? Question? Bill?
What time should we be
here? I'd come about 9:30 because people come early. We're going to have coffee, have some donuts and things up here. And try to, if people come early, we can start talking with them as soon as they come. But we families come in early, and then at 10 o'clock, we draw numbers out to what order they get to go down and shop at the store. So you come at 9:30, come early, and that'd be great. Somebody else? Will, how to go Monday night when you led someone to the Lord? Is there a microphone back there?
Oh, no.
Here, I'll bring you one.
Mine was just simple. I try to incorporate a bunch of different types of witnessing. I try to always get them to where they realize they're a sinner. I, at the farm show this year, I started talking about hell. I'd ask people, do you know, have you ever heard of a place called hell? And they, every time, yeah, of course, you know, so I explained to them what hell is, but that they're going to go there if they don't. That's good cop, bad cop, you know, but I explained that. But one of the greatest things I ever learned when I was learning how to win souls was, I always take my watch off, and I said, if I give you a free gift, what would you have to do before this gift becomes yours? Because if I'm giving you a gift, what do you have to do? And the man, it was a husband and a wife of a teenager just got saved Friday. He said, take it. And I said, that's exactly right. If you don't take it, it never becomes yours. And Jesus, therefore, he's a gift to everyone, but you have to receive it at some point in your life. And so when he said that the difficult part's getting to where, that's the same thing with me, is that's what I use. I just say, hey, would you want to pray? And the husband was very hesitant, and he said, you know, he's just like, I don't know. And I said, this, you got to believe, and but you got to call on him. You got to have that time you receive him. And the wife kind of shoved him a little bit into it. So I always said there's a Holy Spirit and there's a holy spouse, you know, sometimes. So, but they both just prayed. Just like preacher said, I just said, hey, when I got saved, this is what I prayed. Won't you pray with me? And they both bowed their head and prayed and called on the Lord then.
So Will talks about hell and lets people know what it is. And if you aren't saved or if you have sinned, that's where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. That's what he uses. Mm-hmm. Darlene. If living men do what dead men know, the whole world would be Christian. One preacher said, I would rather my preacher boys spend 5 minutes in hell than 5 years in Bible college. And they would do the world more better if they would spend 5 minutes in hell than 5 years in Bible college. It's a burden. Marianne? Yes. Someone says, well, I don't believe that, or I don't know if I trust that. Say, hang on, let me grab preacher. He told me if anybody questions, just to get him. And I will make Will go over there and answer. I'll come over there and answer. Yes. If you have any problems or something you can't answer, they say, well, what about Adam's belly button? Did he have one or not? Let me call preacher, okay? And I'll talk to him about Adam's belly button. But most of the time, I don't have people go off script and ask questions that you can't answer. I did have an interesting one this week, and he believed in an Eastern religion, and so I just kept going back to Jesus and when there is a question. But just say, hey, well, this is what I want you to hear. I'm going through this is gifts with the gospel. So I want to tell you what the gospel is. Jesus died, he was buried, and he... That's the gospel, and this is what it means to you. He's got a gift. Great watch gift illustration. Hey, here's a gift. We want to give it to you, but you have to receive it, and that's what salvation is. Somebody else? Brick?
What do you do with the Muslims that don't think Jesus is who he is?
When I've been witnessing the Muslims, I have lately, and there are more Muslims in our area, and so I'll ask them, do you believe in Jesus? They say, well, yeah, he's one of our prophets. And I'll say this, well, do you know that if he's a prophet, according to your faith, he lied about his death and lied about his resurrection. Why would you consider Jesus a prophet if he lied about his death, his identity, and the greatest event of his whole ministry? Would you want a prophet who lied about who he was and what he did? And every Muslim that had an open heart has said, I never thought of that. Sometimes Muslims have closed heart and says, well, yeah, all the prophets have problems, but there are prophets. And I will say, if Jesus lied about who he was and about what he did, I don't want anything to do with him. And I'm a preacher. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I'm done. So I totally focus it on, because Muslims believe Jesus is a prophet and not God in flesh. And they do not think he died on the cross or rose from the dead. So that's what I pin it on. I put it right there, and I say, but, you know, Jesus said, and then the disciples all gave their lives claiming he rose from the dead. So they were there, we weren't. But I wouldn't give my life for a phony if I knew about it. I wouldn't sacrifice my life for a fraud if I was there with him and knew he didn't rise from the dead. I use that line of reasoning to try to get them to the point of Jesus.
I would say also that it's not a failure if you didn't bring him to Christ. You're just watering and planting seeds, okay?
Yep.
It might occur later. And plus, maybe someone that was standing by you was overhearing the conversation that you have no idea. And there's a seed that you didn't even know you planted.
The other thing is, If you don't get them to that point, a Muslim leaves thinking, well, I believe the same thing you do. I believe in Jesus. So that's the point, that if you can get them to that different point of Jesus. Because if I asked a Muslim all day, you believe in Jesus? Yeah, just like you guys do. I said, no. I believe it differently. And I explained it to him. And then it kind of ended there. But I thought, I'm going to plant the seed because I don't want him thinking he believes in it correctly, because that's not. It's like me believing Jesus. There's a lot of little guys named Jesus who are left-hand pictures in the Dominican Republic. Their name is Jesus, okay? And I could say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, left-hander, down 95 miles an hour. That's not the same Jesus, okay? There's a lot of guys named Jesus in South America, but they're not Jesus Christos, right? So that's, if I'm witnessing a Muslim, I'm going to get them to that specific point to make sure that that's what salvation hinges on. Good stuff. Good questions. Anybody else? Jimmy?
Death, burial, resurrection of Christ.
That's it. That's it. That's the gospel. Death, burial. That's it. Simple. Amen. Simple and totally sufficient. Amen? Okay, let's close.